If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Welcome to this E3 completely unnecessary podcast. We're live at E3.
Yeah.
No, we're not.
Look at us.
We're 100 miles away. It's the podcast. It's June 13th. It's a Thursday. Rare Thursday recording 2019. That's Ian Ferguson on Pat Conchie. This will be our... We usually do an E3 kind of special. There's so much going on to cover. We were recording this week anyway, but we decided to delay it a couple days. But we're talking about...
Nintendo.
Microsoft. We're talking about... The Hyperkin N64 HD clone, TurboGrafx Mini, limited run games, a Star Wars arcade announced, and a little bit more. Real quick before we dive in, Game 6 tonight,
yep.
Warriors versus Toronto. Ian's going for Toronto, I'm going for the Warriors. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah,
Ian put his curse on them, on Toronto, so if they lose...
Every team I like is cursed.
Every team you like is cursed. And then the Blues won the Stanley Cup Finals, which I did not watch one game of the NHL playoffs. I should be ashamed of my street hockey self.
Yeah, I haven't either. I've been using streams of dubious legality to watch basketball, but... I didn't tune in for any hockey this year. Hockey, I've said it on here before, I'm sure, though. Hockey is one of those sports that really I love watching it live. I don't like watching it on TV. I have an incredibly hard time following it on TV.
Really?
Yeah.
I like following hockey. It's like a video game to me. I can actually follow the strategy on hockey, going back to my street hockey days. Unlike NBA, you can kind of follow the NBA. Anyway, so E3. I would just say this about E3 this year. In terms of the coverage, did it seem like people were like going out of their way to be overhyped about E3 this year more than past years? To me, like they I think going out of the way to be more excited about things.
No, I don't think so.
Or is this a typical mood? Am I getting old and curmudgeon-y?
I think you're getting old and curmudgeon-y.
It just seemed like there was a lot of stuff where people were losing their minds more. I'm like, okay, that's cool, but.
Honestly, it was a good E3. There was a lot of good stuff to see. No one really disappointed.
Did anyone win E3?
I don't know.
They win the prize
but,
for winning E3?
E3. It was a better E3 than last year and the year before. There was actually stuff people wanted to see.
Last year, no one wanted to see anything?
I think last year was pretty lackluster. Last year was that E3 where everyone was like, okay, it's the end of this generation and nothing's coming. I remember no one was particularly enthused about...
But it's even more the end of the generation.
Yeah, I mean, but...
Sony wasn't even there this year.
Yeah, but Nintendo announced a lot of stuff. Microsoft did. Bethesda did. Square did. A lot of it for this generation.
Which we'll get into.
So I don't think people were overdoing it. And honestly, I'd rather people were more excited about stuff than just shitting on it all the time. But yeah, no, I don't know. Seemed reasonable.
It seemed reasonable.
Enthusiasm levels seemed reasonable.
Are you going to go next year? Are we going to do a live podcast from there next year? We can set up.
No, if there was ever an E3 that would have made sense for us to go to, I think it would have been this one. But I've never gone. I don't ever want to. I've had the opportunity for over a decade.
This
now.
Would have been the one to go to, really?
I think so.
Not like when the Switch was coming out.
This would have been a good one to go to.
This would have been a good one. What did Bethesda show? I didn't even look. I watched the Microsoft one, most of Nintendo Direct.
A big thing was Bethesda showed off Doom Eternal. I believe they also talked about Elsewhere.
Deathloop?
Now my brain is frying. I don't recall. They talked about more updates for Fallout 76. And I think new multiplayer stuff for Rage 2. Basically, they announced a bunch of stuff that's important to the people who like their shit.
Oh, okay. I would hope so.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Square was kind of the same thing. Square is doing a bunch of remasters and re-releases of games. The The big one was Secret of Mana Collection.
Mm-hmm.
That has the original Game Boy game, the Super Nintendo, Secret of Mana, and then Seiken Densetsu 3, which was never released over here. And they translated it for the collection, and they announced it during the Nintendo Direct, and then they were like, oh, by the way, it's out on the eShop now, so go get it.
Okay.
That's a pretty big drop, because, like I said, it's never been officially brought over here. And I think they're doing that in preparation for, it looks like they are launching a remake of the third Secret of Mana for the Switch next year. So
that's, okay. I never was into that series, but
it's good stuff.
It's good stuff.
It's good stuff.
It's good stuff. Did Ubisoft release details of the Assassin's Creed Neanderthal Times game coming out?
Got to be honest with you, if there was one thing I didn't really pay attention to, it was Ubisoft.
Ubisoft, Watch Dogs Legion, is that their big one this year? Because you can play as a grandma killing people.
Probably.
That's the news. Like, oh, you can play as an old woman. It's like, okay, that's interesting. John Bernthal was on stage for Ubisoft, it looks like, for Ghost Recon. I guess he's old Punisher is doing that. So let's jump on into to Nintendo, huh?
Yeah, okay. So Nintendo showed off quite a bit this year. I think this was a particularly good year for Nintendo.
Good vintage.
I would say some of the more notable stuff, and I'll start with Link's Awakening. They showed another extended trailer for Link's Awakening on the Switch. That was the Zelda that came out on the Game Boy originally, and then it had a Game Boy Color port. So the one for
this is a top-down Zelda game, yep. Traditional Zelda game.
Yep, traditional top-down Zelda. They showed it off just a little bit further along. The graphics look nice. It was really cute to see, at least for someone like me who loves that one, to see like some of the scenes redone, like just to see how they're going to look. Like
sure.
The stupid raccoon and shit like that.
So I never played it, so I'm actually looking forward to this.
It's so good. Vonnie's looking forward to it, too.
Because I like top-down Zelda games. That's what I grew up with. I like Link to the Past, obviously. I like Legend of Zelda, so...
This is easily the best of them.
Oh, so hot take from Ian. Okay.
Nope. That's not hot at
all. That's a hot opinion.
That is just fact.
It's just fact.
That's fact.
Objectively true.
Objectively true. And they showed off, though, quickly one thing that's very, very cool, I think, that they did not... it was never in the original. So in this one, you can collect dungeon rooms.
I did see that, yeah.
Dungeon rooms, and you can link together your own dungeons.
You can link? So you can do your own run-through of a dungeon that you decide where you place all the rooms and everything.
Yeah, it looks like at least the one they showed, it was in like a heart shape. And I think they called them something like Heart Dungeons. I could be wrong. So I don't know if they're always going to be that shape. But yeah, you basically can unlock all sorts of tiles and pieces to make your own dungeon.
Instead of like just puzzle pieces or bullshit, then you can do a run through and get like items and extra shit.
Yeah.
That's a really cool way to if you played it before, obviously you still want to play a remastered version because it has what you call like cute toy graphics. Is that how you describe
sure.
it? And now they add on a unique element that we haven't seen before where... That'll keep it fresh, at least. So a side game, almost.
Yeah. Now, it'd be nice if Nintendo allowed people to share those with their friends, but I have a feeling Nintendo
I have a feeling
Nintendo
still sore
will
about
find
it.
A way to not let
We're still sore about that. I would think that that'd be a way to save it and share with your friends,
yeah,
Ian.
Yeah, but nothing can be assumed with Nintendo.
It's a little less arduous on the Switch, melting potentially when you're just sharing a little dungeon versus the multiplayer. I guess. I don't know. I'm not trying to carry Nintendo's water here on their Mario Maker 2. They mentioned Mario Maker 2 on the Nintendo
Yeah,
Direct?
Briefly, but that's because it comes out like next week. Okay. They've already said all they
I missed
can
the first.
About it.
I actually missed the first. I watched Nintendo. I missed like the first 10 minutes. So I missed the Link's Awakening on it.
It's so good.
And if you didn't know, Link's Awakening, they unlike Mega Man, they switch it up a bit. They go to an island, and you're not just you know rescuing Zelda and stuff. It's interesting.
Okay.
It's different. It's not the. Not to decry Mega Man's redoing the same plot 35 times.
Focus. Onwards.
Sorry.
So,
what?
They announced two collections that were actually released that day. I love it when Nintendo always does something like that. I love it when Nintendo talks about something, and then they're like, oh, you can get it right now.
That's happening more in the industry, though.
Yeah.
They're keeping things under wraps and be like, oh, it's out.
Nintendo's been good about not announcing stuff until it's within reach of release or just being like, here's something. So, real quick, it was the Mono Collection I mentioned earlier. First Secret of Mana on the Game Boy, Secret of Mana for the Super Nintendo, and then the third Secret of Mana, which had never come out here, gets the translation. That's out now. And then the Contra Collection.
So, Secret of Mana 3, that was a Super Nintendo release in Japan?
Yes.
Super Famicom?
Yep.
Okay.
And then the Contra Collection is out real quick, going over what it has. It has, it's a good collection so far as I can tell. Arcade Contra and Super Contra, Nintendo Contra, Nintendo Super C, Operation C for the Game Boy,
okay.
Contra 3 Alien Wars, and then Contra Hardcore. So seven unique games, but then it also has the Famicom version of Contra, which is so much nicer than the US one, just the little details.
Yeah, like you get the little graphic details, get the little map.
Yeah.
Like sort of like the Ghosts and Goblins-esque map, you see where you are.
Yeah.
You know.
It's cool. And then they put in the European versions of Hardcore and Alien Wars.
A little bit different than the US
different Probotector. So it's some different art.
I feel bad if you grew up with Probotector Contra in Europe. I feel bad for you. Just do. It's just less personality.
They did put a bunch of stuff in there, you know, for completionists. Luigi's Mansion 3 was shown off. It looks good. It looks like Luigi's Mansion.
That's going to come out later this year? Yeah.
Yes.
And it features Gooigi, the green Slimer version of Luigi, to help you as an assistant. There's going to be a four-player co-op mode.
Yep. It looks fun. And then, obviously, the Breath of the Wild sequel was announced. The trailer is
great. We're missing some stuff, Ian, but okay.
We're going to get there.
So,
those are the big ones, and I'm going to go over the smaller stuff. There's going to be smaller.
But obviously, let's not just gloss over Breath of the Wild sequel.
I was just starting to talk. What I liked about the trailer was it was darker. It was spooky.
It was Grimlord.
Grimdark.
Grimdark?
Edgelord. No, but it was spooky.
All right, so it's Link and Zelda going into the castle
castle. There's
Ganon
energy noodles castle. Coming at you.
Energy noodles?
Energy
and
noodles.
And then it starts to lift off the ground.
Yeah, after you see a skull look at you and get
so it's Link
eyes.
And Zelda in space, maybe. I don't know. I don't know where they're going. This is what I'm going to say about it. And we talked about this. We said there was definitely going to be a Zelda sequel. Not that we're Nostradamus, Ian and I, in the podcast.
No, it's worth saying that there's probably always a Zelda in the making.
But the reason we say that is because Breath of the Wild was completed at least like 3.5 years ago. It came out 2 years ago. It was supposed to come out 3 years ago on the Wii U. And since the Wii U was gasping for air, they said, we're not going to come out with it. We're going to wait for it to be a Switch launch title. So they've been working on this game for probably at least a good 2 years. At least. They've been working on this.
Sure.
I could probably tell you with confidence. So when this is going to come out, I don't know. Maybe end of next year. Maybe a couple years from now. But, you know, they usually don't do... Nintendo usually doesn't like to say now in development. Because the last time this happened with Metroid Prime 4... They had to say, oops, we're starting from scratch. No Metroid Prime 4 mentioned, right?
Oops, so all berries.
So that's going to be probably a couple of years off still for Metroid Prime 4 there. But what someone from Nintendo was quoting this saying this is a little bit darker than Majora's Mask. I've never played Majora's Mask. I'm not an N64 guy. So how dark is that compared to Breath of the Wild?
Majora's Mask is... I mean,
they're like chopping kids' heads off.
No,
like,
it's just a darker storyline. I mean, you're constantly under the threat of apocalypse.
But isn't that was Breath of the Wild though, wasn't that? Like, doesn't that get pretty dark?
Yes, I'm just saying. They're right. Majora's Mask is darker.
So, do you think this will be
in
more?
Tone.
Do you think this will be more of a traditional procedural Zelda where you go to dungeon one, dungeon two, less open world?
I'd be surprised if they didn't have more like defined dungeons, but I don't know if they'll go back to a more traditional structure. Nintendo seems to kind of not ever want to do what's obvious.
Well, if they're lifting off in the castle, you think at least the first chunk of the game might take place there. And then they go. I think it's gonna be Space Zelda. I'm gonna say that we had Jason in space. We're gonna and the Leprechaun in space. We're gonna have Zelda in space. And what else? Unless it lifts off to another land, like go back to Link's Awakening Island, maybe. Maybe?
Who knows?
Huh? Conspiracy.
Animal Crossing got some news.
Delayed, right?
It's delayed until March 20th. They never had an official release date, but everyone thought it was going to come out this year. They've delayed it to March 20th of 2020. As Doug Bowser said, it was to alleviate crunch on employees so that they could have a decent holiday season. And quite frankly, that's very respectable.
Has Nintendo ever come out and said that directly before? That's a reason why they delayed something because of crunch?
They talked about it. I don't think they've ever said directly, we're delaying this because of crunch. But they've talked about it.
They don't want to. But Nintendo delays stuff usually, but they give you a good heads up about it.
So the Animal Crossing looks good. It looks like it's going to. The big thing is, it looks like it's going to involve crafting, and you know, really a much larger ability to customize your village. I'm super excited for it. That's probably the game I'm most looking forward to right now.
Okay. We don't care about The Witcher 3 coming on there.
No. Well, I mean, other stuff real quick. Witcher 3, Banjo and Kazooie got announced for Smash.
Okay.
Which is pretty big.
So we were talking about that before on the phone in private. And that, does that potentially mean that there's going to be a new Banjo game?
I think that's one of the reasons why people are so excited.
I saw people lose their fucking minds for this. More so than the other Smash characters.
People love Banjo and Kazooie. And I think it was rumored that they were going to be in Smash. I think that was one of the rumors that was going around before it came out. So, you know, people like to see that sort of thing come true. But it's a series that hasn't been in, you know, the public eye recently. The last one they did wasn't very good and wasn't like a Banjo-Kazooie. I think it's people just seeing characters from their childhood. I mean, that was high school for us. But for a lot of people who are playing games right now, doing YouTube stuff, that was their childhood.
Well, and now this is... I mean, now Microsoft and Nintendo are almost like, kissing cousins at this point. They're becoming, sure. It just seems like now in the past year or so, they're really come out and saying, yeah, we're kind of, you know, we're cool. We're cool with each other. While Sony's just, you know, watching from afar, like, I want to be invited to the party. It's too late. You should have kissed Nintendo first. Should have made that move on Nintendo. Would you imagine now if that would... You think Nintendo would ever work with Sony in the same capacity to get a character in Smash? Or like, no, we don't need you.
I don't think they would.
We're good.
They can make their own Smash.
What are they going to get that people would care about? The fucking clown from Twisted Metal? Who are they going to get?
Kratos.
You remember that? Remember that awful PlayStation All-Stars Smash Brothers game?
Oh, yeah, I do.
I remember playing that. I played that at E3, and I'm like, ooh, this is not good. Did anyone buy that game? Was that a big seller at Luna Video Games?
It did sell for a while, especially the Vita version, because I just think there was nothing else at the time.
Uh-huh. Wow.
It just looked wholeheartedly unappealing.
There's just no characters that are appealing. Like, so
Sackboy.
Yeah, Sackboy. Good old Sackboy. The horror Mario of the Sony franchise. Real quick about Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, just because that's going to be, I think, not a big, huge game, but a decent-sized seller on the Switch. I'll just say that the character models. First of all, where's Hawkeye? Why can't you play Hawkeye? I think they confirmed he's in the game somewhere, but you can't play him. Hawkeye gets a short...
Are you talking about Avengers or Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3?
Oh, no, I mean Avengers. Sorry, not Ultimate Alliance.
Yeah, Ultimate
Avengers.
Alliance 3 looks great.
So the Avengers one.
Yeah.
So the Avengers one, no Hawkeye, which Hawkeye, for some reason, gets shortchanged again. And the character models look terrible on Avengers. I just said when I looked at them, they looked kind of generic to me. They don't look like the Hollywood actors, which I guess they didn't get the rights to. But they all look the same. Like, I looked at Black...
Thor looks incredibly, like...
Thor looks like Captain America with a bigger forehead, but then Black Widow looks like Captain America, but with red hair. Like, it looks so ultra generic to not let them resemble the actors, I mean, at all.
Right.
And so, it was just funny to me. I'm not saying it's going to be a good game or not, I have no idea. But I just thought that was hysterical to see that they looked nothing like it. You want to talk about Ultimate Alliance 3 or no?
I mean, just briefly, it looked like it was going to be good. It's another one of the dungeon. It's an entry in a... In the series, it's a dungeon crawler type game.
It's a dungeon crawler?
Yeah, it is.
This was the Children of Thanos one, right? So you get to fight up all of them.
But no, they are dungeon crawlers. I mean, that's essentially what the games are. You go through their action RPGs, you level up skill trees and stuff like that. Elsa Bloodstone is shown off in it, who I loved, especially in Next Wave Agents of Hate. So it looks like...
I have no idea who that is. Elsa Bloodstone?
Yeah. So it looks like they're going to have some deeper cuts, which is pretty cool.
Of characters?
Yeah.
Is Fantastic Four going to be in the game?
Yes.
So that means they're back! They're back, everyone.
Yeah.
It's going to be a movie in two years, like I said.
At the end of the trailer, it said...
they're back!
It said featuring characters from... X-Men and then it showed the Fantastic Four.
They're back, everybody. So they're back in the Marvel fold. It's official. I'm happy. All right. So what's left from Nintendo? We got everything for them.
I mean, we're missing stuff, but that Astral Chain looked great. No More Heroes 3 is an actual sequel to No More Heroes. It looks fantastic as well. And no, that's about it. I'm sure we missed something, but there was a lot to cover with Nintendo.
But you were impressed by, I think you mentioned to me that Nintendo's like this mid-generation.
I had mentioned it in a text. Yeah. I think Nintendo is, I think one of the reasons why Nintendo looked so good this year, and they have a lot of nice stuff on display, but I think it's heightened by the fact that Nintendo has now positioned themselves in a weird way, timing-wise, that this is they're about to hit the peak of the Switch in terms of...
It's been 2 years, so we're in middle age almost. We're in the middle age of the Switch.
So they've got a lot of cool marquee shit to show, whereas Microsoft, you know, they had some... We'll get into that. They had some stuff, and, you know, Sony didn't even show up. Square announced some good stuff, but it's at that point where for other companies and other systems that are nearing the end of their lifespan, it's getting dry. So Nintendo looked particularly flush.
One thing that was interesting, that the heavy rumors of these different Switch variants, no mention.
Yeah, I think it was said before E3, though, to not expect to see it.
So it probably still going to happen. I would be shocked.
I would be very shocked. They did it last year. They do treat the E3 Direct as a little bit more special than most,
but
they will release things they'll announce things just as important next month during a Direct or whatever. So, I mean, they could announce it.
They'll announce it later summer or fall.
I figure they'll announce it in the summer in preparation for the fall. That's my guess.
Get that Super Switch. Get that Super Switch so when you play Witcher 3, your Joy-Cons don't melt in your hand from all the heat of processing that. All right, so good on Nintendo. Looking forward to some of the stuff. Obviously, I think the Breath of the Wild sequel will sell like gangbusters. Again, that'll solidify that ground that when Metroid Prime 4 probably should have come out, they're gonna have Breath of the Wild there.
If Nintendo times it right, Bonnie will never not be trying to finish
the
game.
Think about Bonnie's personal life. She's just played 1,000 hours. Give her some time off now. All right? Let her play some Splatoon again. All right. Microsoft, Ian. You know I'm a big Microsoft fan. I own a 360, so I'm a big Microsoft fan. But I watched a good chunk, if not all, of the Microsoft E3 presentation in their little stage there. And I don't want to talk about a lot of the individual game stuff because, to be honest, it's not a huge amount of exclusive stuff. We'll start though with obviously the biggest news, since this was like one of the biggest first. This was like what Sunday night they had this. Was it Sunday?
Yeah.
Cyberpunk 2077 is going to be obviously the huge game next year, and they finally solidified a release date. I think they pushed it back what twice?
Yeah, April 16th.
April 16th, 2020. They showed like what 5 to 7 minutes. You want to say combination of cinematics and gameplay, or mostly cinematics? My only concern is watching this stuff is that it seems like it's tilting more each year towards just cinematic, like you're watching movie trailers or you're watching movie scenes.
Sure.
And that bothers me because you're not selling the game, and that's obviously a cliche, but it's true. I would have loved to see during the presentation some actual gameplay. I know usually afterwards I do gameplay and you watch it, but the first thing people always see now are these like 5 to 6 right. minute cutscenes that... That's not the game. It's part of the game, but it's not the game itself. But the big reveal, and obviously it looks like a fantastic game, is Keanu Reeves shows up. I don't know. This
guy's showing up everywhere.
Keanu Reeves with his bionic arm shows up, and they kept this under wraps somehow. for the past couple of years that this game has, we've seen footage of this game now for almost 2 years, it seems like at this point. And I guess he's going to be your guide through the game. He's like your, I think they describe it as he's like, he's not like real. He's like a, he was like a downloaded mind of someone or something that still exists. Or, anyway, you got Keanu Reeves guiding, like, it's just cool. And he showed up on stage.
Yep.
Awkwardly reading off of, like, you know, the teleprompter. And people love Keanu, and it's cool that Keanu seems like he's more popular now in his 50s than he was 20 years ago during the Matrix.
I can't believe that dude is 50 fucking 3 years old.
He's not cracking.
53. Holy
shit. He's
the
new Johnny Depp. Johnny Depp didn't crack till he was 45. Keanu's not cracking yet.
Yeah, it's wild.
It's a Keanu revival.
Keanu-sans? Yeah, I saw that.
It's strange. This happened with Liam Neeson in his 60s, where you get a little bit older, and now all of a sudden you're popular again. It's really interesting. It makes me seem like I'm going to have a revival in my 50s, Ian. It's going to be a Pat-vival. That's what's going to happen.
How are you going to have a revival if you never fade away?
You never, or you were saying I was never there to begin with.
Well,
I'm still in the come up. Is that what it is? So the not shocking thing about this E3, excuse me, in general, but it seems like, yeah, we know that end of next year we're going to have the next generation. That's where we're
2020.
Wait, 2020.
End of 2020 is what they said, I believe, for the Microsoft Project Scarlet, which is their next system, which they didn't really talk about much. They wanted to talk about the games.
They kind of shoved the Scarlet at the end, which kind of shows you where Microsoft is at in general with consoles, in that while it's still a product and important, the focus is just on the games themselves. I think since they corrected with the Xbox One, remember the Xbox One originally was going to be like this entertainment system for your whole family until everyone at E3 said, this is garbage and we don't like this. And so,
well, they've done a complete flip.
Yes.
They learned a hard lesson.
Very hard lesson.
Because the Xbox One is not a bad piece of hardware, but they botched that launch so bad that no one wanted to be near it. Everyone just remembers. Yeah. Everyone remembers the weird, prickish attitude they had about everything. That people are like, "No, we don't want another Kinect. Why would we want a Kinect?
We don't want our TV to know that we're in our underwear and talk to us or whatever the hell they're."
We don't care that I can run TV through it, because who the fuck cares about cable anymore? Like, it was a very weird thing, and they got all attitude-y. And I remember, who was it? Was it?
Oh, plus about the DRM stuff too. That
they
had
the DRM stuff
on
originally, yeah. And then I remember, like, well, what about people who don't want this, that, and the next thing when they were talking, like, when they announced it?
Yeah.
And the guy was like, well, we do have a console for them. It's called the Xbox 360. And it's like...
No, dude.
So they got hit hard with that. And I think they're, like,
it's a humble pie.
I think they're learning. They started to learn immediately during that generation. They started offering really good deals with the Game Pass. And now they're on the opposite end. They're like, yeah, we're going to have a system, sure, but here's what we've really got that's cool. We've got this Game Pass. You can pay, you know, $10 a month for this and get access to all these games, and you can do it through your PC, and you'll be able to do it through this and that. And I honestly...
This is what we said. We said as soon as they announced originally where, you know, some of their console games you can also play with Windows 10, as soon as that happened, I said they don't care about consoles anymore. They might as well don't care,
right,
for the first party stuff. And that's what's happening. So the biggest news was I kept talking about Game Pass. Like all the indie titles that'll be available on Game Pass.
Well, and I'm sitting here thinking, well, when am I going to try out Game Pass?
No, I was thinking the same thing. I'm
it
like,
seems like a
you don't want to lose money by not getting it.
So I'm not interested in whatever their system is doing. I'm not interested in a lot of the stuff that they're coming out with now, but I do like the idea of the Game Pass, and they did announce some pretty cool stuff.
But this is the big Game Pass thing you get.
Okay.
This is the one that's going to be, you can try it for $1. It's going to be $15 a month when it's officially released.
Oh, okay.
You're going to be, the 15, that's the Game Pass Ultimate. So that is the one you get, that you get the PC one, which has its own games curated for the PC,
yeah.
And you get the Xbox One version, okay. And it includes Xbox Live Gold, which I don't know what that costs anymore per month.
$60
a month, a year?
Yeah.
So in essence then, this is getting rolled together. You're getting everything. So someone like me, that I would want to play some titles on the PC without buying the Xbox One, but for $15 a month only, if you get some few games that may not be available on the PC, I might be in the market for an Xbox next generation with something like this.
Sure. Yeah.
I'm being totally serious. I might be like, okay, $15 a month. I don't have to go out and spend $60 on a ton of games. I might be able to get away with $15 a month, and you get the PC one, and you get that one, and then I'll buy a game here and there that I won't be able to.
Sure. Yeah, so Microsoft is selling me with their game plan. It's just, I don't know. To me, stuff like... Well, let's go over some of the more important releases. So they talked about Gears 5 getting details and a release date.
Did they drop the Of War moniker? It's just now Gears?
No, it's Gears... Actually, I don't know. It just says Gears 5
Gears
here.
Gears 5.
Yeah. I think it's probably still Gears of War. A big one for me is Phantasy Star Online 2 is finally coming over here after years of being Japan only. They announced it during the Microsoft conference, but I believe it's going to be on other systems as well. There is a Switch version in Japan. Hopefully we'd get the Switch version here. Phantasy Star Online, holy shit, that game was one of my favorites. I played so much of that when it came out. And I miss the aesthetic. I miss the music. I miss the
world. You
played
it on the Dreamcast?
I played the
fuck
out
of it. You played the hell out of it?
Yeah. I played it a lot.
Are there still servers up for that?
I believe there are ways that you can still connect, yes, but I don't know for sure. They announced Minecraft Dungeons, which looks like a mixture between Minecraft and Diablo. Especially if there's a lot of customization in there. I love games like Diablo.
No, you don't. You hate gamers.
But I love Diablo. So I think this could be an interesting little product. Battletoads was shown again. I am so not interested in Battletoads.
I'm glad you brought that up because I forgot about that because when I saw that, I'm like, can we stop forcing Battletoads? Can we? It's not a thing. It's not really a thing. Stop it. It's not Ninja Turtles.
Did you ever see Mean Girls?
No,
stop trying to make Fetch happen. It's not going to happen.
Did Fetch ever try to be a thing? I don't know.
Fetch.
So Fetch?
Yes.
Do people say that?
Well, that's what they said in
But the thing about Battletoads is this. Is that people that were cheering seeing the Battletoads, I can guarantee you that 95% of them never played it originally when it was out in the NES. They're too young or they never played it. So to them, it's built up in their mind that this is actually a cool retro thing. It's not. It absolutely is not. We don't talk about Battletoads at PRGE. We don't have our gameplay sessions back in the hotel with Battletoads. And the fact that they still got to show a fucking bike mode. The bike mode was known for being extremely unfair. And it is. You have to play it perfectly. It's the third stage of the goddamn game. And it should be the last. And the game design is broken on Battletoads. 2.5 stars, according to Ian in a certain NES
game. Game fucking sucks.
It's very ambitious.
It's the game that everyone thinks is a classic, but it not. Isn't. We it's all not. Remember it, and lots of people seem to remember it being all, a great game, but it's not.
We all remember playing it for the first couple of stages, and we didn't play it after that.
The second stage is abysmal.
With the ropes? No, that's not bad.
It's just not fun, though.
Well, that's the thing. The game's not fun.
Yeah, it's just not.
The game's not fun. It was overly ambitious, and I'm taught... I can't tell you how much it annoyed me seeing that. I wiped it from my mind. Unless you brought it up, I would have forgotten that I saw that trailer. Now, the beat-em-up stuff could be cool. They might have figured out, okay, the game should be 100% a beat-em-up, not just beat-em-up, and now all these individual snake-riding stages and fucking snow stage, which sucks. If they make it like a beat-em-up like the arcade, then maybe that'll be something I'd get behind. But here's the thing. I'm just telling you out there, The fucking brand of Battletoads is not a thing. It's not really a thing. Stop making it a thing. And hearing people cheer because they hear the pause music when it started, I was like, if a game is nostalgic for the fucking pause music
and how difficult
and how bad
shitty some of its stages were
and how bad a biker hover bike stage is, it's not a thing. Drop it, fucking drop it, Microsoft. I'm sorry. Elden Ring. So Elden Ring, the news leaked that this was getting worked on, and they kind of had it near the end of the presentation, I believe, if I remember correctly. And George R.R. Martin's collaborating on it. You know, he's a guy behind...
With Miyazaki from Software, and it'll likely be a Dark Souls-like tough boy RPG. And...
Is that his new genre? Tough boy RPG? Tough boy action RPG?
Tough boy RPG.
tough boy genre?
A lot of people will, you know, puff their chests about it. I would try to play it. I like fantasy settings. Chances are I would play it and do miserable at it and walk away from it just like every other From
Software. I wonder if George R. R. Martin collaborating was literally, okay, we're going to pay this amount of money, put your name on it. Or if he actually put his ideas of the story. Or
I have a feeling he probably put stuff into it.
Okay.
He seems like that kind of
guy. He hasn't finished his novels yet for Game of Thrones.
Well, that's why. He's busy doing all this other shit. Procrastinating.
I actually know someone who met him randomly, and like he was cool enough to say, oh, like at a show, and said, oh, we'll get pizza somewhere, and they actually went out and had pizza with his wife. He's a really cool dude.
I've heard. Yeah. He also looks like he's comfortable all the time. I don't know what it is about the clothes he wears, but you see he's always in like very nice looking.
He's hanging out in like Massachusetts somewhere by the dock with his hat and his little windbreaker.
Just looks like a comfortable guy.
Yeah, I want to be comfortable, Ian, going forward in my 40s. I want to be comfortable.
I want to be handsome. I want to be comfortable.
I think you're handsome, Ian.
Get some khakis.
You don't think you're handsome?
A little zip-up fleece. I mean, I just don't care.
We're going to glow you up a little bit.
Yeah.
Do the glow-up when you hit 38.
So here's a big one. Here's a big one we should talk about.
Did we miss something in the Microsoft?
Nah, I don't think so.
That's how we finish it? Talk about how cute you are or not?
I guess.
Oh, we didn't talk about how... Okay. We didn't talk about how Halo Infinite's going to be a launch title on the Scarlet system. So that was a big... We should mention that, Ian. That's probably one of the biggest things. And it was a five-minute teaser. Some guy in space finds Master Chief. Master Chief, he brings him in. Master Chief is gigantic. He should be playing center in the Knicks. And please help out the Knicks. Anyway, so that was the only thing to basically tell you that, oh, you're going to need to buy our new system is because of Halo. But they didn't probably tell you that it probably is going to be by that point on computers or whatever else.
Right.
But and real quick about just the specs on the Scarlet / PS5, they're going to be almost exactly the same probably. Ray tracing, which means more power, potentially 8K, which almost no one will ever need ever, really. And then the solid state drives.
Right.
So that to me is probably the biggest takeaway, is that you're running out of things to give these systems. The solid state drive basically means no more load up times, because it's so much quicker than a regular spinning hard drive. It doesn't have to spin to access the information. It's almost instantaneous. So that was really what they pushed about. It's going to be powerful. And Microsoft, I think it was Phil Spencer, has come out and said that, oh no, this is not going to be the last home console we do. It could be, though. It could be. We'll see where we are in 5, 6, 7 years from now. But at that point, once you buff up the power that much, get the solid state hard drive, you're going to run out of things to add to the system each generation. You're running out.
I think we're going to see more of these minor incremental mid-generation upgrades. I think they will always sell
some sort of console,
even if it's bare bones, a simple, stupid, just take this out of the box and hook it up. But
yes,
you know, the libraries are going to be the same as Steam or the Microsoft Store. We're not going to have separate.
It's going to start blending more and more together.
We're going to stop having separate ecosystems. And it sounds like already Microsoft is doing that. It sounds like basically their Windows experience and whatever their new Scarlet experience is going to be, it's probably going to be about the same.
You're going to pay $15 a month to get your whole library, plus all new games will probably come later on. You'll buy those obviously up front.
And then the Scarlet is your little
computer
caster,
equivalent.
And they're
investing heavily in cloud stuff. So,
right,
we're getting there. Okay, moving on, Ian.
We called this. We didn't call it.
We talked about this three years ago.
We wanted it.
We wanted to talk about the TurboGrafx Classic Edition, which is now the TurboGrafx Mini, revealed by Konami. Konami remembered last year that they bought these properties from Hudson Soft back in like 2010-11 and said, you know what? We should try to actually use these IPs collecting dust.
Yeah.
But that's what I tweeted out.
So we're getting a TurboGrafx Mini. There's going to be a PC Engine Mini and a PC Engine Core Graphics Mini. Some of the games they announced already.
They only announced about five or six, right? They announced a couple different ones for Japan.
Ease Book 1 and 2 got announced here, so there will be some CD games on there. I believe Castlevania Rondo of Blood, Dracula X was announced for over there. That better come out over
there. Do we
have
a website for that announcement? I don't see that here.
No.
Okay.
they announced Alien Crush. I think it was weird that they didn't lead with Devil's Crush. maybe there'll be enough games on there that they can warrant two.
Alien Crush came out first, made their take.
Yeah.
We got R-Type. Hold on, we got the video's cool. We got R-Type, yeah. New Adventure Island. You gotta get the B. Game. Ninja Spirit, very, very good game.
Yep.
You said Ease 1 and 2. Dungeon Explorer. Dungeon Explorer isn't bad.
Dungeon Explorer is good.
It's a multiplayer, you know, sort of overhead Zelda sort of type.
Gauntlet.
It's a little more than Gauntlet. Because you explore, you go back and forth.
Yeah, it's an open world, but all the fighting is like Gauntlet.
Yeah, okay. Well, Zelda's kind of like Gauntlet.
I mean, it's got like the monster generators and stuff too.
So, no, we played it on our short-lived Let's Play show.
Uh-huh.
We didn't necessarily Let's Play where Ian got, you know, was hurting that day.
Recorded.
That's why I started. The glory of the past is within your grasp. Know your classics. And so then they show off, prepare for impact. They show off the Core Graphics Mini, like you said, the PC Engine Mini. The only real difference is the color schemes there. And then the TurboGrafx, which looks really weird compared next to the other two.
Yeah.
Because we had to butcher the North American design of the TurboGrafx.
We can't be small. It needs to look big.
We got to make it bigger.
Full of power.
Yeah, it's
full of fucking power and nutrients. Nutrient rich. The TurboGrafx 16 is part of a complete breakfast.
Now I want a TurboGrafx cereal. Thanks, Ian.
But, what was I going to say? Oh, one of the cool things they announced is up to 5-player support.
Yes.
Which,
you got to buy something, but
you
yes.
Do. Yeah, you have to get a I'm sure they'll make a mini turbo tap.
Damn you! I when I was 10, I had to do that, and I got to do it again.
I know that Dungeon Explorer, for instance, supports 5 players. I'm certain there will be a Bomberman on there to support 5 players.
There has to be, because let me tell you something. I bought it as a kid. I bought the Turbo Tap as a kid. Let me tell you something, brother. I bought the Turbo Tap as a kid, and you know what games I ended up using for? Battle Royale. My friend was like, this game is trash. I'm like, you know what? You're right. Because we didn't get Fire Pro Wrestling, unfortunately. Maybe that'll be in the PC Engine version. We didn't get that. We had Battle Royale in the States. So 6 games announced so far that we know in the U.S. / European editions. R-Type, New Adventure Island, Ninja Spirit, Ease Book 1 and 2, Dungeon Explorer, and Alien Crush. So it's interesting because now they're basically coming out saying that with Rondo Blood, we have to have some CD titles on here, obviously.
Yes.
Because people expect that.
Yeah, in the U.S., you know, there were some popular CD titles. Ease Book 1 and 2 is obviously one. But in Japan, like half the games are CD-based. For instance, if someone came out with like a clone system, if it didn't have the CD attachment, I wouldn't be able to play half my game. So I think they realize that they've got to put some of those on there, especially for the Japanese version. Otherwise, they're going to be missing out on a huge chunk.
The ones announced for the Japanese one is Superstar Soldier.
Nice.
Bonk's Adventure, where there was PC Kid, and Castlevania Rondo Blood. That's the one they announced so far, looks like, according to this.
Those three are an immediate. I mean, they're an immediate yes.
We can get Superstar Soldier here too, hopefully.
Yeah.
I have to imagine that we're going to get, I'm hoping, 20 games. No, I want 30 games. I want this to match the Genesis, 30 or 40 games. You can probably do 40 games easily just because they own the rights to so many of these first-party titles. They can put on a lot of these shooters.
Yeah.
We should get Superstar Soldier. We should get Blazing Lasers. We should get, hopefully Lords of Thunder and Gates of Thunder, right?
Final Soldier.
We should get like 10 shooters. Minimum.
There was a website, I can't remember which one it was.
Give me Deep Blue.
But I think the number I think the listed number of shooters on the PC Engine is like 93 or something.
So probably half are first party.
So you could at least you could conceivably do it. Maybe that's what they'll do with like one of those. You could conceivably have a just shooter PC Engine.
Ian's pants. He needs to change them already.
I own a lot of them already, but I would buy it for the ease.
You're going to definitely get Blazing. In the U.S., you're going to get Blazing Lizards. That was like the closest thing to like the pack-in title shooter that everyone had on Turbo. So they also said, okay, you're going to get... All right. We don't know yet if the Core Graphics is going to have different games than the PC Engine one.
We don't know.
I would hope not. I hope it's just a choice because at that point, I think your triple dipping is kind of weird to me because the Core Graphics did the same exact shit that the PC Engine did.
So, the only thing I can think of is like if they wanted to do like one that was mostly RPGs or platformers or whatever, and one that was mostly shooters or something. That's all I can think of. It really depends on how deep their library is, though, because if we're talking about three sets of games, I think they would have to have 30 games for each to make it reasonable. I don't think they're going to pull out 90 different. I don't know. We'll see.
No, I think you're going to have probably 89% the same on all three. Yeah. You have to. Okay, so they said that you're going to do, let's see, you're going to get quick saves, so this is obviously going to be emulation. Virtual simulated CRT scan lines. You need that playing turbo games. You need to see the black little lines. And the original 4:3 aspect display ratio. Optional multi-tap will be available. That please think hard before you buy that multi-tap. Don't make the same mistake Pat did with his allowance of money almost 30 years ago. Because I got my TurboGrafx to Christmas in 90. So don't make my same mistake. Think about how many friends you have. Think about if you have five friends that would play TurboGrafx games. Because Pat didn't. He had maybe one or two. Just think about it. Because now you're going to have, first of all, let's talk about the cost. They can't sell this for more than $80 in the Genesis. It can't do $100 like the PlayStation.
No.
Because you don't have the audience that the PlayStation has for this. I think this is going to be $80. I think it's going to be 30 to 40 games. I'm hoping 40 games. There's enough that you can do at first party. Will you be able to get stuff like Splatterhouse on here? You hope. You get Splatterhouse. You hope. When you think about the U.S. stuff, go back and watch our video. But sports titles, give me that TV sports hockey on there. Throw those on there. You got those lesser known. Give me world class baseball if you can get that on there. You know, like yeah, you'll get some sports, but not heavily.
World court tennis. That's a good one. That's the RPG mode tennis game. That's
give
fun.
Me Final Lap Twin. Is that the RPG
that's
one?
The RPG racing game. Yeah, both by Namco.
You're gonna get fucking throw all three bonks on there. You're not doing another one. You're not using the bonk part. Give me bonk 1, 2 and bonk 3 CD. Throw them on there. And look at the wall behind you there. Fuck it. Yeah, get me some of these games that we never heard of. Get me a Chu Man Fu on there. Why not? Will you get Magical Chase? Will you get some of those titles, you think? Why not?
I don't know about Magical Chase, but
why not?
Sapphire. I think Sapphire is a potential for at least the
But why hold back any of those expensive rare titles? There's no point. You're not going to what's Magical Chase doing? You're going to release
Magical Chase Hudson? I thought that was a separate company. I'm saying no Magical Chase because I thought it'd be a licensing
issue. Who published Magical Chase?
Let's find out.
Magical Chase. Magical Chase is collecting dust at IP right now. Developed by Quest, released by PalSoft.
Yeah, so there's no guarantee. That could be a licensing issue.
Come on, Konami. Konami, you got the money for it. But the good news is that obviously is Konami owning this. You can get Rondo of Blood. That's good. I'm trying to think of another big Konami release that was on PC Engine or TurboGrafx. I'm struggling. Is that really it? But in terms of the U.S.
I mean, they did some good ports of like Salamander and Gradius and stuff like that. But
oh, Japan. Okay. Yeah. But I don't know if they would saturate that market being that they released that stuff elsewhere. You know. Okay. I think it's going to be $80. It's going to unfortunately only include one controller, which sucks because they want to milk you. So, you know what, now it can't cost $80. It's got to cost 60 or 70 because everyone's going to have to buy the fucking multi-tap to play two players. Oh, no, there's two ports on it.
Yeah, there's two ports.
There's two ports on it. It looks like a USB almost port.
Yeah, there's two USB ports. So two-player stuff shouldn't be too bad. It's if you want to really do the five-player shit.
So I guess it'll come with two controllers then?
I don't know. We'll have to see.
Please include two controllers on here. Okay, I'm excited. I'm excited for this. I will buy at least one version of this, if not two. I feel it's my duty as a TurboGrafx collector to do that.
I will buy the I'll buy the traditional white PC Engine one.
Traditional,
yeah.
The ones you can buy them on eBay Japan for like $20, but then it costs $50 to ship them. No, they used to be. Yeah, now they're more money. They used to be really cheap because it sold very well there. So in terms of the excitement for this, we talked about this, that obviously
this
no
is
one
our longest topic by far.
No one had it deserves it. TurboGrafx did okay in the U.S. for the first couple of years, and it died out. So I think people are going to have a strange interest in this because they never had it. They heard about this. A lot of people hadn't heard about this the past 10 years until YouTube and retro gamers.
Even emulation of this is kind of a pain because the best... Magic Engine, which is great.
It's probably what they're using on this.
And honestly, Magic Engine deserves your support. It's a fantastic emulator. But it's one of the few emulators that you do have to pay to get everything unlocked.
Like CD support and...
Yeah, and sound, I think.
I'm sure that people have figured out ways to get
but still I'm just saying, like, it's there are correct versions, but it's not just download and do it because you're high and you want to play a game real quick.
Well, because no one had the TurboGrafx.
So Magic Engine, you know, is one way to do it. But outside of Magic Engine, there's really no good way to play a lot of these games. The last time they were really available was on the Wii for the Virtual Console. Yes. So this, you know, people who wanted to explore it would either have to have a Wii that already has those titles on there, a friend, or themselves actually having one. But it's hard to find. The Turbo stuff's expensive.
It's expensive. So there's the common stuff's kind of hard to find.
There's a monetary barrier. So people, this is going to make it easy for anyone who is ever curious to go out, grab one, and play it. And I think just the novelty factor of that alone
will
make this
at
least a moderate success.
Okay. I'm down. Thanks, Konami. Otherwise, I was going to come at you and buy the IPs from you if you didn't do something with this. This will sell not as well as an NES Classic or Super Nintendo Classic. It'll probably sell hopefully better than the crappy PlayStation Classic that I think even PlayStation fans were like, this is hot garbage.
No one liked that.
But we all love this. All right, so Ian, news out of
Hyperkin land.
Hyperkin always showing up at E3.
They always
got a showing.
They announced this, this was either leaked or announced right before E3. So Hyperkin is putting out their Nintendo 64 clone called the Ultra 64.
Retron Ult.
Retron Ult.
I guess short for the Ultra 64, which is the original.
Yeah, the original
name.
Development name. So it'll be the big thing here is HDMI out, 720p upscale.
720p HDMI out.
N64 was never a particularly great looking system, but it looks like utter fucking dog trash on like a flat screen TV. It's
you are meant
looking.
To look at N64 games through a filter. You literally are. Nintendo put on filters so you couldn't see the jagged edges and things of that nature on N64 games.
So it's rough on a flat screen
TV. Be careful what you wish for. We're upscaling N64 games.
What I'm saying is, I mean, it's not going to look great, but it's going to help. I'm saying like a raw RCA signal into a flat screen TV, which is people are doing it now.
But you don't
want miserable.
But you don't want to clean up the signal too much on these. You know, basically, you don't want to remaster N64 games. That's what I'm trying to say, like to 1080p.
Sure.
You know,
it's going to be a HDMI. It's going to be USB power. Comes with one controller,
the Admiral controller,
and
four ports, just like an N64.
It appears to be using some sort of emulation. It has to be.
It has to, or else they wouldn't be able to have this at this point.
FPGA on the N64, from what I understand, is not a thing we are going to see
anytime soon.
And this is using some sort of emulation. There were pictures that came out of E3 of Mario Kart, the TV screen, on one of the levels. Came through glitchy, like it wasn't there. It was all screwed up. And I guess that's a known bug in one of the big emulators. So I don't know.
I was going to say.
So it's good. I mean, emulation on the 64 has come a long way. This is not going to be perfect. And I am shuddering at the thought of trying to explain or sell this to people.
Because it's not going to be 100% compatible.
Yeah, I'll really have to see how close it gets. But if it's one of those things where like popular games have graphic problems and glitches, it's going to be real hard for me to sell this, especially when regular Nintendo 64s, they're very popular now, but they're not as scarce as, say, I don't know. It seems like a weird release. I think it's jumping the gun. That's the problem.
You think they should have? Well, here's the thing. If you own Hyperkin, at this point, you already came out with every other cart-based system you possibly could with an audience. You did Atari, you did Nintendo, you did Super Nintendo, you did Genesis/Master System with, you know, you did your Retron 5, you did everything, Ian. This is it. This is the last cartridge system that people are going to care about. This is it. So you got to come out with it sometime or else your competitors will.
Oh, sure.
They will. And people do need an HDMI solution for almost every console. And you can buy upscaling cables or you can buy something like this. But if the cables cost almost as much as this is going to cost, you might as well get the console. That's probably people were probably thinking.
Right. Which would make perfect sense if you were fine with
some potential glitches.
With potential glitches.
So this is what I'm going to say. They're obviously going to have to license one of the, what is there, two or three decent N64 emulators. I haven't kept up with N64 emulation. All I know is this: you go from it being something that they've said definitively, but in the past, this is impossible to emulate. Someone releases what was the emulator? It came out the middle of the night in the early 2000s, late 90s.
Oh yeah, I can't remember.
Ultra HLE, whatever. And then we're like, holy shit, this is possible. And so that's why they're still trying to catch up and be able to do this properly. If you do an FPGA, obviously that'd be great, but it could take someone like Kesher's years to do that, to program it and figure it out.
Yeah.
And they can't wait, so it's going to have to be an emulator. The fact that they're saying we're not sure what it's going to be, no, it's going to be an emulator. It's going to probably rip the ROM off the cartridge the same way the Retron 5 does. You have to, if it's an emulator.
Yeah.
So it'll be cracked. It'll be like an N64 emulator box. These are just emulator boxes at this point, which is good though, because you don't have to worry about the Rumble, the expansion pack support. You don't have to worry about it. It'll be built in. You know,
there's a little it shows a little door for it.
Shows a door for it,
or maybe it's just
I think it's just a door, Ian. I don't think you're gonna have to.
No, I would hope not. But I'm saying shows the door for the expansion pack.
Because I don't think they stopped making those expansion packs, right?
Including Hyperkin, as far as I know, they don't.
Is gonna be built into the emulator. You're not gonna have.
I'm just saying it shows a door on there. I'm sure it could just be a decorative element, but it's there.
Yes, that's the reset button. they made the reset button there. That's what it is. That would be bad. We're gonna sell you a clone and then the expansion pack as well on top of it.
That looks like trash.
To me, what looks like trash?
I'm sure it's just a prototype. Yeah, it's got to be a prototype model.
So to me, this all comes down to what's the price on this. If this is $60 or less, you're gonna sell a ton. If it's $80, $100, you're not. Especially if it's potentially glitchy. If it's $60. You know what? I'll take a chance that some games don't play properly. Even though they're going to have to disclose that, and they're going to have to be able to do firmware updates, obviously, like with the Retron, where once they figure out the glitches of other games and work at it, you know, you can update it.
I think we're looking at 70. The Retron 77 is partial emulation, and that came out at 70.
Okay.
So I mean, just using roughly the it didn't stay at 70.
But that had switches. I still got to buy one, by the way. I want one.
I do want a Retron 77, actually. It's one of the only like clone systems I've wanted.
It has like the glitch button on it. You make it glitchy.
It's small. Yeah, it's got the fry button. Anyway.
Okay, so you're kind of surprised that they announced this early, maybe wait a year or two. Is there a release date plan for this that we see, or no?
I don't believe so, but I would imagine very soon.
Very soon?
I would imagine we'll be
by the end of the year?
We'll see it by the end of the year, absolutely.
No N64 Classic yet. That's still not out. You know why? Because the emulation isn't perfect. Nintendo ain't going to do it themselves. They're going to wait for someone else to perfect it and do it. All right. So, like I said, $60 to $80 we're thinking for this? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Ian, our pals at Limited Run, they do their own little presentation video. It's goofy. It's fun. It's like it's charmingly low budget with like fake people in the crowd and like a rendered stage. So the biggest thing to take away from their slate of upcoming releases. They're doing their last Vita title. But the big
thing is the Star Wars licenses.
They've done a deal with Disney for, I believe it's not just Star Wars, but also Disney games. But obviously the big thing is they're doing Star Wars physical re-releases of games from the 90s.
Yeah, and other LucasArts stuff. I'll go through the list real quick. So, Curse of Monkey Island, Monkey Island 2 Special Edition, and Secret of Monkey Island, and then Secret of Monkey Island Special... Well, okay, so those are
the PC.
Editions. Those games are fantastic. It's awesome that they're coming out. Then, Star Wars for the NES and Game Boy, Star Wars Bounty Hunter on PS4, Star Wars Dark Forces. Woo! PC. That's a cool one. We'll probably snag that. Star Wars Episode 1 Racer, PC and N64. Star Wars The Empire Strikes Back, NES and Game Boy. Star Wars Jedi Knight, Star Wars Jedi Knight 2. Star Wars Jedi Knight Jedi Academy. Star Wars Racer Revenge, PS4. Rebel Assault, PC. Shadows of the Empire, PC and N64. TIE Fighter, woo! Yes, PC and X-Wing.
Woo!
Hurrah! To see the Super Nintendo ones are missing.
Well, we'll get to that in a bit. Let's start with what's here. This is the majority of the Star Wars games from the 90s. These are most of the heavy hitters. that you would expect to say, okay, remember the best Star Wars games from the 90s? Go.
Dark Forces. I'm so excited about
Dark Forces. I don't know if you can say it's underrated as a game. It's underrated. It's a first-person shooter
Star Wars game. It's a sleeper.
Somehow a sleeper. By the way, Star Wars Jedi Knight is really Dark Forces 2 Jedi Knight. I'm not going to, but they probably try to erase that from memory because they kind of switched the Dark Forces monitor to be Jedi Knight at that point because Dark Forces is fucking cool. You know why? No lightsabers. Sorry.
It's a not a one.
Not a one. And you get the job done. But you know what? They had to turn my man Kyle Katarn into a Jedi, of course, because Star Wars nerds need everyone to be a fucking Jedi. Sorry. Go on. So what's really cool about this is this is what the first official re-releases of N64 games, I believe, as well as Game Boy games, standalone titles that have come out before officially getting re-released, and actually NES as well. I'm trying to think. Well, we got Metal Storm, and that's out. So okay, but the first I think Game Boy and N64 ones, definitely N64, with a real license. That's impressive. And obviously, we have to wait to see what accoutrements come with these and what are we going to get with these. We're going to get pins. We're going to get coins. We're going to get a Kyle Katarn figure, please, in Dark Forces. That would be great because that was a Shadows of the Empire figure. So the only things missing from here, on N64, you don't have Rogue Squadron. No Rebel Assault 2, but no one cares about Rebel Assault 2. The first one's one everyone remembers and loves. Not that Rebel Assault 2 is bad, but one is memorable.
For an FMV game, you only need one.
But these are the games.
Yeah.
These are the games.
I can't wait for TIE Fighter, X-Wing, and Dark Forces.
No, I will get Dark Forces. So conspicuous by their absence, though, is the Super Star Wars trilogy.
I love those.
Excellent trilogy of games. 4.5 stars, according to a certain Super Nintendo guidebook that's being developed. So you don't know why they're not on here, but I would think that once they run through these, they would think that, you know, maybe someone at Disney doesn't know that they were big hits, even though Star Wars was a million seller, one of the 8 to 10 million sellers, Super Nintendo games. And those games did so much goodwill in the 90s to help keep Star Wars alive and to transfer the love of it to the next generation. You know, because, you know, you're 10 years old, you're 7, you're 12, and you didn't grow up. You were too young to grow up with Star Wars.
Sure.
The only thing you had was those dumb Ewok movies, you know, in the mid-80s. So it was a way to relearn the trilogy in a cheap way. Because not everyone had a PC in the early 90s to even get X-Wing and TIE Fighter. But a lot of kids had a Super Nintendo. So it's strange not to see that trilogy on here. I think eventually they'll have to work out a deal to get those. I'm not sure why they're not here. Because when you see Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back on NES, those did not do the movies justice at all.
Those are not very good.
Those aren't good. I don't know about the Game Boy version.
Ones are not very good.
Are they similar?
They're similar, yes.
So that's strange to me. Maybe they want to see how those do first, but if you came out with the Super Star Wars trilogy and did like a box set version and kind of made it like a VHS box set, you would sell a jillion of them.
Yeah.
You would. And even though those games aren't super expensive to find on their own, if you added enough cool little grabby stuff in there, I think you would sell a ton as a box set. I think you'd have to do a box set of those three. I think you would have to. And I think it would sell. So the first one that's going to come out is going to be Star Wars Bounty Hunter on PS4. And then they're going to transition into these. And I believe this is going to come out at a fairly quick clip here. But the good news is that now they establish a relationship. If these sell well, you have the whole Disney game vault that you can more easily get at. And that includes Mickey Mouse games that you can get at for re-releases if people want to, you know, the Genesis Mickey Mouse games or Super Nintendo games potentially. Yeah, that's important. Is there anything else you think that's missing here? Shadows of the Empire having that, no, I think is going to be a big one too.
I think Shadows of the Empire is going to be one of the biggest ones.
That was a one that for the teenage crowd, I remember in the mid-90s, that was like, holy shit, this is cool.
I'm sure there's a reason for Rogue Squadron not being there. It is fairly popular, at least at the store, but I think Shadows of the Empire is the real important one there for Star Wars fans anyways.
And Episode 1 Racer is really nostalgic for a lot of people younger than us.
Better than the movie that spawned it.
I was going to say, like, that was probably the big, what, episode one game.
Yeah, it was a great game.
Of the ones that came out. So, and great arcade game. Remember the arcade game?
Oh, God, the arcade game was fantastic.
The actual pod, oh, man. Man, you don't see that often anymore, do you? Wow.
I don't think I've seen it since it was current.
That game was thrilling.
Yes.
Movie, not as much, but that game was that game was thrilling to play. So
all the thrill of that two-hour movie condensed into one quarter.
I am in for Dark Forces. I'm likely in for TIE Fighter and X-Wing here.
I think those three I would want to be in for.
And I will wait to see how the NES Star Wars and Empire games look and what's included, because those games are... They're a struggle to get through.
Yeah, they're not.
I reviewed the Star Wars one. They're a struggle. Empire, I think, is even more difficult than the Star Wars one.
Yeah, they're not fun.
And then, yeah, there's lots of other stuff that can go into the... Oh, the LucasArts vault is huge. And you got the Indiana
Massive.
Jones games.
Yes.
You did Indiana Jones trilogy re-release, Super Nintendo. Ooh.
There you go.
All right. So good times for Limited Run. Good company. They're blowing on up here.
And we got more Star Wars news, too. Arcade 1-Up announced quite a showing.
Bringing the E3 heat.
So Arcade 1-Up, if you aren't aware, real quick, they're a company that's been around since, I think, last year. They started to put out mini, like, three-quarter size arcade cabinets.
Like 4 foot tall arcade cabinets.
Right. With licensed games, joysticks, everything. So they did a couple. They did, like, an Asteroids one. They did a trackball one that had Centipede, Millipede, and Missile Command.
Yeah, they started
it
with like 4 or 5 games. Now they're doing 12-in-1 games. That's like the new version of them. So now there's a Final Fight version, which has, I believe, was it Strider, Final Fight,
yes,
a couple other games.
So the big ones that they announced at E3 that are coming out, they are announcing a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles one. It's going to have 4 joysticks, and it's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles the arcade game, and also Turtles in Time.
Beautiful.
With the four players like ready to go on that. That is awesome. And then
now keep this in mind though. This is not a really wide control panel, so you're going to be crunched with 4 players.
It's all about the novelty. And then the Marvel Superheroes machine. This is a great one. It will have Marvel Superheroes, X-Men Children of the Atom, and the Punisher on it. Children of the Atom is super fun, and Marvel Superheroes
Children
is
of the
too.
Atom was the first time they did a fighting game with the Marvel properties. That was the first one.
Yes. And that one, I believe so. Or no, I think Marvel Superheroes was.
Okay.
I'd have to look.
I think I'm right, but okay.
I think you're right.
So the Punisher being on there is interesting because that is the first time that game has been re-released, I believe, at all, anywhere.
Really?
Can you think of it after the Genesis version? It came out? Any collections or digital sale? I don't...
No. I can't think of it either.
It's a bloody, violent, really, really good beat 'em up.
You know how
really good.
You know how easy it is to accidentally type super herpes instead of superheroes.
Ian, I'm not. Don't ask, don't tell. Ian. Super herpes. Okay, that's not going to be a podcast T-shirt.
It's one keystroke.
Are you sure that wasn't from your safe search from before? You know how it knows what you searched
for.
Yeah,
I was definitely searching for Marvel super herpes.
These are beautiful cabinets. I love them. I love the T molding. It's obviously it's green on the Ninja Turtles. It's blue for the Marvel one.
I've seen that the overlays wear out real quickly, though.
What do you mean? That the graphics, like the sticker?
Yeah,
on them,
I've seen them get pretty thrashed. But for the price,
well, these are what? These are gonna be what, I think $400 for the Turtles one because that's 4 players, or $400 or $500. Is there a price on the Ninja Turtle one? They're usually $300. You think with the bigger control panel with the different more parts, it's going to be probably $400. I would say.
So, Children of the Atom was first.
Thank you, Ian.
And so we talked about the Marvel Superheroes one and the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles one, but they're doing a Star Wars one.
Real quick, Ninja Turtles will be $350.
Okay.
Marvel Superheroes will be $300. That's reasonable.
Yeah, for the extra hardware and stuff.
That's reasonable.
So Star Wars is getting an arcade one-up too, with the original Star Wars arcade, Star Wars Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi. That's huge.
That's
Those
big.
Games have never been properly home ported.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to say like, okay, you have the 5200 version that's supposed to be decent, but no one owned that.
Yeah, the 5200 version, there's a Coleco version, I believe, as well.
Is there a Coleco one? 2600 one, 5200 ColecoVision
one? If it's not official, it's a homebrew.
I was going to say, Ian. Bring us to a halt. But here's the big deal about this, Ian. It has the Yoke controller.
Yeah, it's on there.
Has the Yoke controller.
Yeah, the original controller.
And you can play these games with a joystick. A Yoke is basically a joystick. You left, right, up, down. But it feels so nice with the trigger buttons on your thumbs.
Yeah, rotating.
It feels so nice.
Rotating and then being able to go up. It
feels
awesome.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's a huge deal. They're saying this is going to be under $500. I'm going to guess that's they didn't announce the price yet. But my guess is that means $499.
Maybe $450. Maybe.
I have a feeling the license is a little bit pricier. They know they can get the money out of fans and the controller.
Every Star Wars nerd will buy this. This is going to be like when you, and this is what we didn't bring about Limited Run, is that when you talk about the Star Wars audience,
it's not just games.
It's the Star Wars crowd that may not be into video games but collect Star Wars shit.
Right, exactly.
You're going to have people that buy this stuff and buy the Limited Run stuff that don't care about the games or necessarily would want to buy any other arcade, but they'll buy the Star Wars one.
Yeah.
So this is a coup to get this. And to do the Yoke controller properly, that might cost extra money because it's probably no one that makes a Yoke controller. They got to start from scratch. It's not off the, you know, it's not off the shelf.
Right.
If there's an off the shelf Yoke controller, I should own it. You know, USB one, we would all own it and be playing on our emulator. Star Wars Arcade is an excellent game.
Oh, it's fucking fantastic.
Vector graphics. The voice act. It was probably the first time that a movie game was made that people were like, this is really fun.
Yeah, because it's a blast. You don't even have to like Star Wars to like it. It's a good game.
Yeah, it's only a few stages and it revolves. Who cares?
It's three stages. So Star Wars Arcade, it's just the Death Star run. And basically,
you're in space. You're
going to do
the towers.
It's three stages of your approach.
Yeah.
TIE fighters out there, towers, and then, or towers, tunnel. Oh, outer space, towers, tunnel.
Towers.
Yeah, tunnel.
The tunnel, which was done excellently.
Yeah.
For again, 1980.
Yeah, it looks good. The shot, like, nailing the shot is satisfying.
I just Archer, see what you can do. I just love, like, the low quality voice act. Like, it's just great. And then Empire Strikes Back was an expansion, expansion pack. It was an add on. For it. I don't think they ever did a standalone.
No, I don't believe it.
Because
it
came out.
It was just a conversion kit.
Conversion kit, sorry. And not many people play that. I think I played that once ever. So I really not hugely familiar with that
one. I'm struggling to remember it.
Because most arcades wouldn't have had that. Because you just have Star Wars. Return of the Jedi is entirely different. Return of the Jedi is the isometric three quarters.
Speeder bike.
What is it? Speeder bike, Millennium Falcon. Is it two Millennium Falcons or one Millennium Falcon? Speeder bike, Millennium Falcon.
The only thing I remember.
Two Millennium
Falcons.
Because no one got past it ever. Because it's extremely difficult. These are all Atari Games stuff. And Atari Games obviously did a great job with this. So for $500, there's going to be an audience. Keep this in mind, though, is that price likely does not include the risers. So if you want to get this to a respectable level, these are all like 4 feet tall machines. You got to bend down. If you want to get these to like 6 feet, you got to buy the risers, basically a stand to put on top of it. Everyone's going to buy the riser for the Star Wars because it looks nice if that's the prototype one there. So really, you're looking at, what does the risers cost? Usually like 80 bucks?
I think it was like 60 or something. It could be 80.
So you're looking at $580 in order to get the whole package.
I mean, considering that an actual Star Wars arcade machine is going to run
$2,000
at
this point?
Considerably more.
Just for the one? But that's a full-size one. This isn't full-size.
Yeah, but I mean, I think for people who just want to play it, the choice is clear.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I think that once you get to the 500 range, that's where you're tapping out on the price that you'll be able to get for these not full size.
I don't think any of the other ones they could get 500 for, but I think this one might just be that sweet spot because of the dedicated controller.
The regular ride is only $40. I it would be kind of, they probably will charge more for the Star Wars one just because for the licensing they might have to. So maybe it'd be $50. $60 because the one up riser doesn't have graphics on it. It's just a fucking piece of fucking plastic. It's literally just a standee and you put it inside. So it'll be the same shape, but Star Wars graphics or Ninja Turtle graphics. So we'll just say $550 for the whole package here. But no, it's exciting. And then they showed off at the side a little mini cocktail game.
They're doing two cocktail games. I did see the info somewhere. I don't know where now. There's a Pac-Man There's a Pac-Man Namco one that I believe is going to have 9 games on it.
Okay.
And then there's another one that's going to have more. I don't know if the one that has more is if this is part of it, but they did show something interesting. Street Fighter 2 in a cocktail cabinet. They've never done that before. And what it is no matter where you sit, so if you sit on one end, half the screen shows you the fight properly.
It mirrors it somehow?
It mirrors it. And then on the other side of the screen, it's split again and shows it to the other side. So that's kind of interesting.
They're getting around the traditional cocktail thing of like swapping screens or having two different ones. I guess you'd have to usually traditionally it'd be a side by side cocktail if it was a fighting game.
Right.
But that way you'll be able to have one screen and do Frogger back and forth too. If they figure out that type, that's pretty cool.
So
I don't know about having a mini cocktail though, just because where you put your drink, you'll be able to see anything.
I'm not sure that they're necessarily mini.
It looks smaller, Ian. It was a lot smaller. You see the picture?
Yeah.
It was like this wide. It was smaller.
It's going to be tough to squeeze 6 buttons down there.
Yeah, sure. But, okay, so RK1-Up's hitting it out of the park, though. Now they have already like 6 or 7 different ones of these.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for the Rampart add-on for the rollerball one. All right, Ian, we got Polymega.
Yeah, Polymega is announced an HD light gun. That will supposedly be compatible with all games. You can only use it on their system.
And this is based off of a Kickstarter technology called Sinden. That basically, I guess, was the Sinden light gun. I don't know how we missed this Kickstarter. It raised £238,000, is that? I'm not doing any pat math on there, but that's a lot of money. And so it was supposed to be, this was basically a project to create an HD light gun. And they made it look like the Namco pistol.
It looks a little like the GunCon, yeah.
So I'm guessing, obviously, they partnered with these people. Polymega.
Yes.
Talked to these people and said, okay, you guys figure it out. And this was in the fall. I'm sorry, it's supposed to be released in the fall, this Sinden light gun. So they're partnering with these folks to come out with their own version of an HD gun, which we need. We need with all these clone consoles and HD clones, it'd be nice to have one of these.
Yeah.
So this is a smart marketing move to say, well, let's put this out with the Polymega. This could bring us sales here. I would hope that a company would do these separately than a console and you'd be able to sell a ton more.
Right. As it is simply attached to the Polymega, it's not crazy attractive to me. Although, if you're going to get it, it's great because it's one size fits all. It does all of
them. Yeah, NES, Super Nintendo, Genesis had some light gun games. Sega CD, PS1, Saturn. There's a lot of light gun games when you combine those all.
Yeah, tons. So I'd love to try it out. I definitely would have checked it out if I was at E3. I wasn't. So there we go. Honestly, with something like this, I really want to see it in action and tested before I say, too much about it.
It's going to cost $100. So keep in mind that if you're buying into the what's going to be potentially the Polymega ecosystem, you're going to have to buy the standalone unit, and then you buy the NES one separately, the Saturn one separately, and then you got to buy the gun separately. We're talking, then you're racking up $600, $700 potentially,
yeah,
$800. That's what you have to buy into in order to do this.
This isn't a solution to light gun problems necessarily for everyone. It's because I don't think people are going to buy a Polymega for light gun stuff necessarily. But we'll see.
You don't know. Here's the thing. You don't know when you combine them all together. If it's just NES, I'd be like, no, who cares? It's like 13 games. Who
but
cares?
Being able to play like Point Blank, Time Crisis, that is really appealing.
It's appealing. It's a mini coup. I'm guessing they licensed it. They licensed the tech. They're doing a deal. Obviously, these are obviously we still have to have the Polymega come out to begin with before we even get to this point.
Truth.
So, I'm not saying it's not going to come out, but we're waiting for this to come out. So, I would probably say this to them if they really wanted to push that this is going to be their. Something that differentiates itself from Hyperkin. If Hyperkin doesn't figure this out, but I guarantee you Hyperkin's going to try to, in retrobit, they're going to try to, backwards engineer this and figure this out. Why not just do this as like some sort of pack-in with one of their packages? Like, here's the light gun package.
A light gun package would make sense to me.
$100 for a standalone on top of everything else, that's stretching it.
That's where the problem comes
in. Especially when I know Hyperkin has their HD gun just for Duck Hunt based on the other Kickstarter.
Right,
for that.
Right.
And that's like, what, $20, $25?
No idea, honestly.
It's not that much money, but again, that's for one game. It even has the little cart add-on the same way you had to modify the cart. So, yeah. So, it's great to have a solution for a potential console coming out, but we need a solution for everything at this point. And obviously, it would have to be, you know, per system add-on, but maybe you can't do it. Maybe you can't do it unless it's a modern system. Maybe you just can't. You can't figure it out. It's too tough.
Yeah.
So,
and they're doing emulation on there, so it would be, you know, it could just tie into that somehow.
I don't know how we missed this Sinden Light Gun Kickstarter in the fall. No one alerted us. Hey, guys, on Twitter, you didn't alert us to this. I don't remember this. Because they showed them playing, let's see, Virtual Cop on a giant projector screen.
Do our job.
Do our job getting us topics. New light gun that actually works? That's on YouTube. Sinden Light Gun on a Raspberry Pi Revisited. I want to check this out now. I want to check this out. All right, so we'll wait for the Pi Mega to come out, and then the light gun afterwards, maybe next year. We'll see where we're at there. So,
all right, so we have a Patreon. We don't have a Patreon poll this week. This was a special news broadcast episode.
So why are you bringing up the Patreon?
But they might want to go check it out. Patreon.com/CUpodcast. I'll have writing up by tomorrow.
Someone said that, it was the funniest comment. Someone said you could definitely tell Pat bullies Ian talking about the Patreon. That was the comment. I responded, yes, I threat with noogies and wedges and one time gave Ian a titty twister.
Oof.
In order to.
That was brutal.
I think I got a titty twister one time from Billy. Billy, I hung out with the older kid that we listened to.
Billy's.
I want to talk about Billy real quick because we got a little bit of time. Billy had a very eclectic
I'm
music
calling
taste.
My left.
We listened to Guns N' Roses, NWA, Queen, and Prince. So it was very nice. I was very cultured all across the range of
Billy,
music.
Billy really helped you out.
And then sometimes, though, he would get mad and, like, punch me. But, you know, but not hard.
Fucking Christ, Billy.
Not in the face, but, you know, hard in the shoulder when I beat him at NHL 93.
Hard enough.
You know. So thanks so much. We're going to be back Tuesday with a short CU podcast, a more traditional one. And I'll be at we'll be at Long Island.
Yes, we will. I am excited about that.
We're excited about that. And that's August 10th and 11th. Go to, Expo. Dot. Oh, my God. I'm so bad with this. Sorry, Wally. Fill dead air, Ian.
Hey, Pat. What are you doing?
I'm trying to find the website on top of my head. I'll also be at Too Many Games. It's expo.liretro.com for the Long Island Retro Game Expo, and I will be at Too Many Games in WoW in a week and a half. June 21st to 23rd, I will be there. I'm still working on a certain Super Nintendo guidebook that you can pre-order at ultimatesnes.com. The screenshots are getting put in. I'm up to. I went backwards. I started at Z, went backwards for some of it. Then I went like forward from like Home Improvement up to Meet the M's. I'm doing weird. So now I need like the B's, C's, D's, and E's. I'm left with an F's.
All right.
And Ian, for some reason, has to call his lift before we sign off. So we're signing off.
Bye.